Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the end of the day, this is Josh Allen's offense, right? Like, you're gonna put together the offense around the guys that you got. So for us to just say, hey, we're just going to scrap everything and everything was broken, that wasn't the case.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Joe Brady, offense coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. And a name you may have already heard in connection with a Bears hire. Maybe you will hear it later. Let's find out more about the man and what his candidacy might involve. Let's go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Welcome to the show from the Buffalo News, Ryan O'Halloran. He covers the Bills. Ryan, thanks for taking time out today. I know you're squeezing us in, and we appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Good talk to you, Steve.
So where does, Josh Allen end and Joe Brady begin?
Well, I thought that was an appropriate clip of Joe Brady that you played during the intro, because he has adapted his offense to what Josh Allen does best, which was different than what Joe Burrow did best at LSU with Brady and the Carolina quarterback. So I think that would be the if I'm the Bears and talk to Joe Brady, that's the main question. Okay, what does the Caleb Williams offense look like for you? And it's obviously Josh Allen makes a lot of your play calls look good, but Brady has also, schemed up some stuff for his receivers and, integrated Amari Cooper, moved on from Stephon Diggs. So he's done a nice job this year.
So what is he – did he have to sell anything to Josh Allen? Part of what – when you walk in and you're dealing with a quarterback who has got those credentials, sometimes you're a salesman. Did you have to sell anything to Josh Allen or the rest of the team to make a difference, to make it work?
Yeah, well, I think, what helped Brady that he was the quarterback coach here for the first year and a half of his tenure. Okay, that's how you earn Allen's trust. And, as a lot of players say, if they feel a guy can make me better, that's the instant buy-in by the player, and that's where Allen was. And I think I think Brady's strength during the week of preparation with his team is he wants it to be collaborative, and Josh Allen has a lot of say, the offensive lineman, the receivers, the tight end. So I think that's probably where he's grown as a coordinator from his first tour in Carolina.
Talking with Ryan O'Halloran of the Buffalo News. He covers the Bills. We're talking about Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Bills, possible candidate for the Bears head coaching position. Joe Brady was an example of, we saw it here, a midseason offensive coordinator firing that worked, that got the team got better, the quarterback got better, the offense got better. So you've described some of the ways it worked. Was there more of a balance running, passing, let the passer have more time? What changed when he came in?
Yeah, you hit it. They had a recommitment to the run game. Josh Allen is going to have his keeper to a game and some scrambles, but meat and potatoes, so to speak, of that run game with James Cook, a couple of veterans, and now a couple of young guys. Joe Brady has been a willingness to stick to the run even when it doesn't work for a couple of tries. And they're fifth in the league entering this week in first down rushes, so they want balance. They want to be able to use play action, on second and third down. So I think that's been the biggest difference, and the metrics show it. Brady has had an impact on this offense.
Can Brady command a room? That's one of the things that was a failure of Shane Waldron and other coaches too. But Shane Waldron, most notably here as the offensive coordinator, was offensive players got together and told the coach, this guy's got to coach us harder. And then the ability to command a room has come up often here. What's Joe Brady's presence like in the room according to players?
I mean, I think they feel like he's in command, but he's also enthusiastic, motivator. And then, you know, when they do present the final plan, that's something they've worked together on. So, obviously it's a big difference from offensive coordinator addresses the room, the head coach addresses the room. So, what's going to be interesting with me is, you know, how does Joe sell himself to show that he's ready for this kind of role, and what would his staff look like?
Has he talked about it? Has he talked about head coach? And I mean, it kind of got thrust upon him, and in the middle of last season, it was like a year ago it happened, and now, mm-hmm. of course, around here, passing game coordinator becomes head coach in a month. So life moves pretty fast. You got to, if you don't look around again, you could miss it, as Ferris Bueller said. So what has he talked about?
This hasn't come up specifically since he talked last Monday, but last year and during the playoffs, he interviewed with Atlanta. Atlanta interviewed everybody during that cycle, but he said afterwards appreciated the experience to present his vision. But I mean, once it does come up, I'm sure he'll say, my focus is on the Bills. But one thing that could help him is if the Bills get that number one seed, get that bye, so he would be available for interviews with the Bears and other teams. Maybe get a head start on some of the other assistants whose teams are playing wild card weekend.
We're talking with Ryan O'Halloran of the Buffalo News. He covers the Bills. We're talking about Joe Brady, offensive coordinator, and we're talking about the Bears coaching opening. So to whom does he attribute a lot of, whose tree does he come from? Who's had a great effect on him? And it's not always one guy. It could be a combination of guys that you get credit for working with different. But Shane Waldron got credit for being in Belichick's system and Pete Carroll's system, and he sucked. But but who does Joe Brady count?
I mean, he's a Sean Payton guy. He was with the Saints as a support assistant, didn't have a position group or not much less coordinator. And then he went from there to LSU, where he was co-coordinator for the national champs, and then straight to Carolina for the Panthers. But I think his foundation was built under Sean Payton with the Saints. And I think you do see a little bit of that in his play calling in terms of, pretty aggressive, a lot of stuff, so to speak, in terms of the formations and the route combination. So that's where it started for Joe.
So that means Caleb Williams could be the second quarterback to run for a TD, throw a TD, and catch a TD in a game? If that's is that Joe Brady's geniusness?
Well, if he can guarantee that, he can name his price, right? that was quite the conversation after that happened. Okay, who gets what? How many yards is it? Is it a fumble? But yeah, if he can dial up some of those plays, Caleb Williams will be loving life with Joe Brady.
I wonder about that, and don't know if the Bears. There's been some discussion about whether the Bears should let him have a say or let him have a part, if not a say, let him have a part of this interview process, just to see if there's any, if there's a connection, if there's comfort, where that is. And I would think working with Josh Allen, Caleb Williams seems to be a guy who respects greatness accomplished. He wants 8 rings because Brady has 7. So he seems to have that kind of high regard. And I would think that the Josh Allen connection, the Josh Allen working relationship would go a long way with Caleb Williams. I don't know if Joe Brady's talked about working with young quarterbacks or not.
Yeah, and he obviously had Burrow during that Heisman Trophy season. And when he got here to start working with Allen, Josh was already on the right path. But, and so if you mentioned Caleb Williams and his involvement, I mean, I think both things can happen. You don't, hell no, you don't get a say. But I think they do maybe have to have a conversation between player and candidate just to see if there is something there that could be, established and improved. But I mean, I've heard it happen with quarterbacks at the coordinator and position coach level, but it would be probably pretty rare at the head coaching search.
Well, we'll find out. The Bears were the team that had the existing head coach be part of the interviews for the future general manager. So dumber things have happened, and we're the city that does it. Ryan, I appreciate your time. I know you got to go, but thanks for spending time. Give us some insight into the Joe Brady situation.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Thank you. Ryan O'Halloran of the Buffalo News. Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Bills. And Josh Allen. I mean, I do think Caleb Williams has really performed well since Thomas Brown took over. His passer rating for the three games in the division is almost 100. That's gold. It's gold, Jerry. Anyways, it's the kind of thing where you look at Thomas Brown, okay, that relationship works. That's what we want. We want our quarterback to show the signs that he is that franchise quarterback. We'll see the special. We've seen the special in fourth quarters just throughout the six-game losing streak. We've seen that. Only the head coach or the offensive coordinator screwed it up. But we've seen that. And Caleb Williams has shown, you know, he likes Bears history. He wants to make Bears history. He certainly idolized Brady. That's what the guy's got 7, I want 8. And he's aware of it. So if you look at MVP candidate like Josh Phelps, Josh Allen, I mean, and you say, who's that coach? And that coach comes in and wants to meet with you and you want to see if there's a connection there. I think there would be great respect, probably humility as well as the respect, and great enthusiasm on Caleb Williams' part to be there, to be in the room, to make a connection. Because he's certainly shown his teammates early on and now that he's that guy, that he works, he wants to get there. He may not be on every page with every receiver all the time. And certainly coaching needs to be better. The sideline needs to be better organized. But the idea that Caleb Williams wouldn't be able to work with a specific coach seems now, after what he's gone through, what he's experienced, and especially with Thomas Brown, as he has gotten better, and it was games in the division, teams, NFC North teams against whom he was better, with Thomas Brown calling plays, I think that's a really good sign. Now, the problem is, if Caleb wants, remember we heard Bears players lobby for Justin Fields last year. He's my guy. That's what I want. He's my guy. Well, it wasn't really. And they adapted. Caleb Williams came in and showed him he's willing to work and showed him he has talent. And they said, hey, we're all going to get better because of this. But Caleb Williams was the voice that could, if he says he loves working with Thomas Brown, and Kevin Warren tells Ryan Poles to have other ideas, then what? Then what? Well, we would hope it wouldn't come to that. We would hope it would become clear to the Bears, to Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, that there would be one choice, and they would all be on the same page, all be in agreement. Not say they're on the same page, but actually agree, this is the guy. Our quarterback gets better because our quarterback likes this guy. And if our quarterback gets better, we all get better. I don't know that he should be part of all the interviewing process, but I do know he ought to be in the building when they bring in every candidate. They ought to meet. You ought to know what your quarterback's initial thoughts were, and you ought to know what that guy's thoughts on Caleb Williams are. I don't know if Ryan Pace did that with Matt Nagy. Specifically, and I don't know if Matt Nagy said, you know what? Mitch Trubisky wasn't high on our list. We're the team that traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. We're not the team that traded up one spot to get Mitch Trubisky. But I would want to know what the coach candidate thinks of the quarterback, what the quarterback thinks of it. I would want that meeting. I would force that meeting. I would want to be in the room for that conversation. Maybe read body language. Who knows? You need to get a feel for it. I don't. You know that idea? Your boss shouldn't be surprised. I don't think your quarterback should really be surprised either. You've placed so much importance on him. You've made him most important person in Hallis Hall, give or take Kevin Warren and his weasel words. But you've made Caleb Williams the guy. So don't you think he ought to come be somewhat a part of the interviews? He's got to meet the candidates. Let's meet all the Bachelor number one. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Take a break. When we come back. I do have in the cultural zeitgeist, there is a sporting holiday gift you might want to think about. And also, there is a question of social decorum that I didn't know we needed to answer, but it was answered pretty extensively on a social media outlet. Tyler, the question is, what is the proper drink to throw at someone when you find out they've betrayed you or cheated on you somehow? You're in public, restaurant, a bar. What is the proper drink to throw at someone? I think it's a pressing question I did not know that we needed an answer to. And Tyler, you come up with your boss fave drink, and we'll discuss that. This is Saturday Suckage, of course. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now, you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby. Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it. Do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
That's the anthem. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Ohms. Ohms.
Ohms. Ohms.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
Oh, look. 123. 123. Love you, Otter. This is the cultural zeitgeist. Tyler, have you been to Blue Sky Social? Are you on Blue Sky?
Can't say that I am.
I tried to set up an account, and I'm flummoxed. It's like I'm locked in and locked out. I have nowhere to go. I thought it was as simple as typing my name. But no. But, well, I can't actually be there and participate or receive visitors or whatever it is. I can access some things. Like this post from Alexander Chi, whose Blue Sky bio includes description of professor of creative writing at Dartmouth. So here is one of his Blue Sky posts. Last night I heard a story about someone going to a bar where she discovered her lover was having dinner with another woman. All right, so we have conflict there, right? Continuing with Alexander Chi's description, she bought and then threw a drink at him in the dining room, buying the drink for that purpose. I then started wondering, what is the best cocktail to throw at someone? Tyler? There's really no right or wrong answer. There are a variety, and I'll get into those, but what do you think?
Best cocktail to throw at someone.
Uh-huh.
Can I get a minute to think about this? I don't know.
All right, well, I'm going to give you everybody else's answers. So the responses were wide-ranging, shall we say. The first one that came up was always Bloody Mary, right? The red mix all over the clothing. And by the way, pro tip, if you order a Bloody Mary to throw at someone, order it with extra Tabasco sauce to achieve maximum eye damage. And make sure there's a toothpick in the carrot or the celery. See, others who read this, the Bloody Mary idea, shot down the idea saying, sangria, it's still red and it's cheaper. And you get bonus points because you might hit somebody in the eye with the chunks of fruit that are in sangria. So somebody else revived in this, like, what drink do you throw at somebody who you've discovered cheating? What drink do you buy? Do you throw out? And the word buy was key here. Somebody said tequila sunrise because of the grenadine. But if that's the case, you might as well order a Shirley Temple at Roy Rogers. It's cheaper. And the key, well, the important part is the staining. This Sarah Derer Littman said something thick and sticky that stains. Tequila Sunrise, Bloody Mary. Although, honestly, cheap red wine stains well, and why would you spend money on a cheating schmuck? And that's a really good point. To which another commenter replied, oh, hun, you charge it to his table. Oh, I like that. To which Sarah replied, right, I've been happily partnered for 18 years, so I'm rusty on such things. Other suggestions were Malort. Somebody used the Sean Connery clip from The Untouchables. It's the Chicago way. Another suggestion was eggnog. I'm not sure why. Seasonally appropriate, sticky, something like that. Another poster said, and again, we're talking about this question posed by somebody, and it was a long social post. The responses, the comments were, what drink do you throw at somebody when you catch them cheating? What do you do in public? Another poster said a can of Pabst. Someone replied a can of Foster's. The original poster said Pabst is cheaper. The second poster countered with the idea that Foster's comes in a steel can. So we're not just talking about the contents inside, but a weaponized container. The idea of a margarita came up. Somebody suggested a margarita, heavily salted rim for eye damage.
First one that came to my mind, I don't know why. How about pina colada? The first thing that came to my mind.
Why?
Just no idea. First thing that popped up in my mind.
All right. Well, you can go for bodily harm and stickiness or a stain. Pina colada. Usually have an umbrella, toothpick, something like that. Yeah, you can get that. A user named Todd Dillard added a pine forward extra dirty gin stirred martini. Let them wear the stench of some forest animal, filthy in their own rut. Give them the salt and brine you will never shed for them again. Well, that is dramatically excellent, Ted. Todd, I mean. Speaking of drama, someone suggested the right drink is the one you snatch from the table next to the one with the cheating person. Someone also suggested pina colada along with you, Tyler, or a lemon drop to sting the eyes, or 110 rum if you care to spend some time, 151 rum if you care to spend some time in prison. So there's your drink. You got your drink. What do you throw? What kind of drink will you have to throw, little missy there? I don't know. Fellow suckageers and people like Tyler Butterbra's wife who stumbled into Saturday Suckage. Do you have a favorite drink to throw at a cheating mate? Has this happened to you often enough that you know the difference and you have experience at that? And if so, maybe the drink of choice isn't the main issue you should be dealing with. Where we had people respond in the text line, I wasn't quite sure what would happen. 847 and 602 both said a flaming anything. A flaming Dr. Pepper shot is what the 602 says. 219, a fresh full bottle of beer, and I'm not throwing it on the guy. I'm going to whack him over the head with it. Nothing works better. Wow. Again, if you have experience at this, maybe the drink of choice isn't your main issue. Tyler, do you want to pay attention to the show? And we're going to change topics.
I'm reading
here.
All the texts.
Okay.
What am I playing here?
Aren't we going to do Omaha? Don't we change subjects?
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
I suck.
You're really staying on topic.
We were talking during the break here. We were talking during the break here. You're like, good job with a couple of things. And you said to me, you need to stay on brand. Well, now I'm staying on brand.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. All right. So now on to Christmas. We usually have a heated discussion on the text lines and the phones about the greatest Christmas movie ever. Tyler, what do you think the greatest Christmas movie ever is?
I'm a little biased because it's, I guess they're based in Chicago, but I'm a Christmas Vacation guy.
Okay. Godfather 1. That's the greatest Christmas
movie.
And then Die Hard. Yeah.
Okay. But you're entitled to your opinions.
The people, you know, the Die Hard people, they die hard about that movie's ranking, and they want to make sure that it's recognized as the greatest Christmas movie ever. And you're welcome to hold that wrong opinion if you want, Die Hard fans. But I have a useful bit of holiday news for you. There is an advent calendar that counts down Hans Gruber's fall from Nakatomi Tower. Each day, Hans Gruber and the Hans Gruber character gets lowered one floor, and there's some kind of reward. You know, advent calendars are usually chocolate. And you can get advent calendars for dogs and cats with treats inside, but this would be diehard fans, and you would get a piece of chocolate, and each day Hans Gruber would be lowered one floor until on Christmas Day he finally hits bottom. This is brilliant. This is inspired. The Hans Gruber advent calendar. Have you seen, Tyler, have you seen Die Hard? I don't know that we've discussed this.
I have once, yes.
The spectacular scene where Hans Gruber is clinging to life, right? Alan Rickman's face, Hans Gruber, right? Do you know how they got that shot?
I can't say that I do.
Well, Alan Rickman's a phenomenal actor. One of the greats. I loved him. But he wasn't acting. Not in that scene, not there. When you rewatch the movie, know this. That Rickman was in the, what passed for an elevator shaft. And they said, all right, we're going to release the floor on the count of three. And you're going to fall. So understand that's the way you have to act. They didn't do it on three. They did it on one. He really thought he was flying down the shaft. That's why it looks so real. And after you watch Alan Rickman in Die Hard, watch Alan Rickman in Dogma. Have you seen Dogma, Tyler?
I have not.
There is a massive chasm in your cultural zeitgeist. It may be the most underrated movie of all time. Probably the most underappreciated writing, I think, the second best written movie behind Casablanca. Alan Rickman is God's spokesperson. And I laugh every time it's revealed who God is, which people who have read, who've seen Dogma already know, and they're chuckling along with me, and you have no idea. You're going to have to go look it up. But I recommend that you, Tyler, that you watch the movie. Omaha! 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 206 texter, WB checking in, WB Club checking in. I've seen an advent calendar containing edibles. Wow. What a great idea. Why haven't we brought that to the air?
We got to find out where this advent calendar is.
708 texter, need it. Bad Santa advent calendar. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, not for the radio, you won't. That's not going to happen here. 219. Now, this is going back to the drink, your drink of choice. What would you choose to throw at somebody who was cheating on you? If your partner is allergic to cinnamon, hit them with a Gold Swagger or Fireball. Wow.
That's a good one.
Wow. So is cinnamon really an allergy? I suppose you could be allergic to anything, but...
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty serious, obviously. Have you seen that cinnamon challenge that was brought a couple years ago where the people were just spoonfuling it, like whole things of cinnamon? It's pretty messed. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. So I have another Christmas note. This was shown to me by Steve the Shirt at my Trader Joe's. He showed me the picture of a tree ornament, Christmas tree ornament. It was really nicely done. It was in burgundy and gold. In case you're wondering, those are the colors of the Washington Commanders. The top of the ornament, the part that would hang on a tree, is a football. And the football in the top of the ornament is being high-pointed by about five bears. Maybe you know what's going on here. Maybe you don't. But when I tell you that one of the bears coming in from the side is Tyreek Stevenson, I think you're getting the idea of this ornament. And all alone behind this group of leaping, high-pointing bears is Commanders player Noah Brown. Hands outstretched and waiting for the beginning, the end of the Eberflus era. I just, the whole idea of that is it's actually a gift for Bears fans. It would seem like this would just be painful, but you finally got rid of this guy.
If there's a way to rub it in more, maybe make Tyreek Stevenson come across the Christmas tree into the pile and put his hand up to tip the ball to Noah Brown, yeah. That'd be really, really a good way to rub it in.
That could be a possibility. That would be just the idea that there is that ornament. Somebody would come up with that idea. And it was really nicely done. I don't know if that actually exists. I asked Steve the Shirt that, and he said, I don't know. This came across as Twitter. That would be really, and had Commanders 18, Bears 15, and had the score there. I was like, wow, okay, that's what's going on. So, anyways, that is the, that is your cultural zeitgeist. We still have response to the drink, text response to the drink you throw at somebody when you found them cheating, and you'd, 219, stay on target. Stay on target, no distractions, leave the innocent alone, hit the partner with the drink.
Maybe they're saying it doesn't matter the drink of choice, just try to be accurate with your throw.
Yeah, that would be a... Yeah, 847 agrees with Dogma is the best movie ever. It's maybe the smartest movie ever. 815 texter, Stevenson should be his own ornament on the other side of the tree, talking smack to his elf on the shelf. You win.
That's really good.
You win. We did have a winner. We had no prize, even though it was discussed on Reddit. The idea went kind of viral from Thanksgiving on Reddit. And we did have a winner. Those of you who are listening to Thanksgiving Suckage, so to speak, we did have somebody who came damn close to predicting the comically stupid end. So I'll bring you that. And Bears fans held hostage. And we do have yet another Christmas song for you from our wonderful library. This is Saturday Suckage. But you knew that. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Saturday Suckage. I suck so you don't have to. In case I'm not doing it well enough, Tyler certainly is. So, I got a text machine. Technology throws me. 217 texter. The drink episode happened to me. Okay. My ex took my rum and cola and poured it over my head while I was talking with my date. So there you go. As suggested by one of the commenters in this Blue Sky Social post, you charge it to his table. So, or you can just take his drink, pour it on his head, and there you go. I suppose the carbonation would hurt the eyes as well. I don't know if the rum would. If the rum were on fire, it was 151, then yeah. And maybe you accomplish a lot there. So Thomas Brown tomorrow makes his head coaching debut. A month ago, he was the passing game coordinator and really wasn't allowed to talk to the quarterback. Now he's the quarterback's lifeline. Hoo boy. So Bears. So he goes, they'll go out to San Francisco with a good chance to win the game. San Francisco's pretty beaten up. And not that the Bears can't find a way to lose a game with all that going on. I mean, this was a team that lost to the New England Patriots at home when the Patriots came in, holding the spot of the number one draft choice. And the Bears managed one, count of one, field goal. So there's that. For the fifth time in 12 seasons, the Bears are looking for a new head coach. If I've connected these dots properly, that means the third GM that George McCaskey hired will be looking for the fifth McCaskey head coach, who will hire, I don't know, the 10th or 11th offensive coordinator. Well, it's keeping alive his lifelong dream, apparently, to never win a playoff game.
Man, that sucks.
Thank you, Julie Swyko. So I had done this after the Washington game, and Bears fans held hostage day one because Eberflus should have been fired right after that game. He was not. It took six more weeks for this dithering bunch of Kevin Warrens and McCaskies and Poles to get it right. And so I did that for a couple of weeks. Bears fans held hostage. Well, with the help from Gridiron Assassin, we now know that Bears fans have been held hostage by the McCaskey family for 14,195 days. I'll repeat, 14,195 days. That counts from January 26, 1986 until today.
Too many.
And I'll follow with Twitter follower Adam Maloney tweeting at me, "We're going to take the cellar and never give it back." Yep, that's the way it's going to go. And on that note, I want to send you out with, I want you to share yet another Christmas song or holiday time song, because it's Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song.
Put on the yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival. Instead of one day of presents, we get cake. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's the fourth list of people who are Jewish. Just like Jesus, Olaf, Punky Brewster, Scott Rudin, and me. Joseph Gordon-Levitt enjoys eating Kugel. So does Stanley, Jake Gyllenhaal, and the two guys who founded Google. Adam Levine wears a Jewish star. So does Drake and Seth Rogen. Goldberg has a gold yarmulke to match the belt he won from Hulk Hogan. We got Scarlett Johansson. Talk about a kosher crush. And if you need a higher voice to turn you on, how about Geddy Lee from Rose? We may not have part two. Put on the yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. Harry Potter and his magic wanaka. Celebrate Hanukkah. Jared from Subway. A Jew! But guess who's Jewish and can fix him? Loveline's Dr. Drew.
Get on it, Doc.
Princess Leia cuts the challah with Queen Elsa from Frozen. David Beckham is the king of soccer studs and also a quarter chosen. Ron Jeremy's fully Jewish and so's his footlong buddy. Shia LaBeouf is half a Jew, but 100% nutty. It's cool that Santa Claus makes Christmas so merry, but we get two jolly fat guys, ice cream's Ben and Jerry, both Jewish. From New York to Ironica, get up there, celebrate Hanukkah. Don't mess with the Zohanaka. Let's all get along for Hanukkah. So drink your Jaeger Bombica and smoke your medical chronica. If you really, really wanna go, have a hammer, hammer.
Adam Sandler, the Hanukkah song. Sure, we're all holiday music all the time here. And before I go, Thanksgiving morning show, I asked people to predict the most comically stupid scenario, the way the Bears would lose to the Lions. B. Sosco, 82, texted this. Bears down two with 2 minutes. Try to score a field goal. Try to score a touchdown so field goal doesn't get blocked. In field goal range, but instead a turnover on downs or clock runs out. Bang. Winner, winner. We have no prize, but winner, winner. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next Saturday. Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.